Here is the news. Apollo 16 astronauts John Young and Charles Duke have left their lunar landing craft to begin their second excursion on the moon's surface. Their first job after leaving the lander was to set up their ultraviolet camera. Mission controllers in Texas directed astronaut Young as he positioned the crescent Earth in the camera's sights. On the second moonwalk, the two explorers will climb about 100 meters up the slope of Stone Mountain, which is 5 kilometers south of their landing site. They will drive to the point where they will begin the climb in their lunar rover, the small car they brought from Earth. This second excursion is considered the most scientifically important of the three scheduled moonwalks. The two astronauts are taking a route scientists think will lead them to a much wider range of rock samples than they found on their first walk on the moon. All 7 hours of the excursion will be devoted to selecting and meticulously documenting rock samples. They will photograph each rock they select from several angles before picking it up. Astronauts Young and Duke slept well following their first excursion. When they awoke, they ate what astronaut Duke referred to as an enormous breakfast, and at one point they queried, "Hey, what day is it back on Earth?" Their first lunar walk was marred by the accidental destruction of one of the mission's more important experiments. Astronaut Young snagged a wire with his foot while setting up the heat flow experiment. That experiment will not be able to measure the moon's internal temperature now, and ground controllers say there is no way to repair it. The astronauts now plan to leave lunar orbit to return to Earth some 18 hours earlier than originally planned. VOA's Rhett Turner has talked to scientists at the Houston, Texas Space Center, and he reports the reason for the early start home is that astronaut Thomas Mattingly has already completed most of his lunar photography. Mattingly is flying alone in lunar orbit in the command ship, and his primary objective is to take mapping photographs of the lunar surface. We'll bring you live coverage of the lunar excursion in about 10 minutes.
This is the Voice of America's coverage of the flight of Apollo 16, man's fifth journey to the lunar surface. Today, the second of three scheduled moon excursions. Astronauts John Young and Charles Duke have been on the lunar surface a total of about 7.5 hours. In that time, they have completed one EVA of 7 hours. They spent then a long rest period in the lunar lander Orion and are now about to begin the second of three geological traverses. This motorized trip in the lunar rover will take them across the Kaley Plains up the slopes of Stone Mountain. For a description of some of these activities, we take you to VOA space correspondent Rhett Turner at the Manned Spacecraft Center in Houston.
Well, astronauts John Young and Charlie Duke have now been out on the surface of the moon about a half hour in the second extravehicular excursion. They're out beside the lunar module Orion. They're loading up the rover, that amazing lunar automobile, to take them on a journey some 5 kilometers or so to the south, where they'll climb what's called Stone Mountain, drive up it. This is one of the largest prominences raising beyond this Descartes Highland Formation, their landing site, in the mountains of the moon. They're like on the top of the Andes or the Himalayas on a plateau. And there are small hills or mountains raising beyond that, on up into the heavens. And then John Young commented that this site must be one of the oldest on the moon because it's so battered with so many craters on top of craters. We're listening to the astronauts as they're getting their equipment ready, their geological sampling equipment ready. They have now turned on their television camera on the lunar rover, and a good signal is coming back. We can see a very, very clear picture, the clearest yet from many of these lunar missions because of continued technical improvements in processing the signals. Let's listen to Charlie Duke and John Young.
You don't have the footprints and the tracks. It's very smooth, very white albedo.
Could you bend over?
Yeah, very white albedo. Where we've kicked it up, it's about two shades grayer. It's a dark, lot darker albedo.
He's talking about the surface now, the albedo, or light reflectivity of the surface.
And you know why I think that is, Tony? You look down, son, and it's not that way. You look up, son, and it is. I think it's the shadows that the sun casts on the particles that have been disturbed. It causes it to give a darker albedo.
Good observation.
Okay, your turn. And you'll be able to carry this thing for the court tubes in it.
You can see the rover rocking as they're trying to get a piece of equipment mounted thereon. So
the
quiet.
Houston, it's easier on the moon to, there's a lot of trouble with the UV camera with the azimuth scale. It's easier to pick the camera up and re-level it by pushing it into the dirt than it is to change the azimuth settings. Every time you change an azimuth setting, you have to re-level it.
I copy that.
Oh, still, John, this thing keeps coming off.
That comment from John Young refers to the fact that the ultraviolet light camera designed to be aimed out into space is easier to realign by just picking it up bodily and turning it around rather than trying to move the azimuth setting. He mentioned yesterday during the first excursion that this thing was getting stiff, hard to turn, this azimuth indicator. Maybe it's getting either cold or hot. It's in a shadow, actually. Of the lunar module, so it should be experiencing temperatures of minus 150 degrees in the shade.
The one on your plan, you wouldn't have to worry with that strap. Can I give you an EMU status check while I'm standing there? 385, then pulling both legs, and I'm reading 84%.
Okay, we
got
it. Down about right to you.
That's
Can
John
I be that hole this quick?
Well, working that?
I'm reading about 80%.
He's reading one of the dials on his environmental control system. This is a little check pad.
Okay, my flags are clear, Houston.
My flags are clear.
And I've got the 80... I got about 83%, and I'm minimum cooling, and pressure is at 385, and I'm very comfortable.
Okay, good.
That's Charlie D. Saying he's very comfortable.
Okay, LRV prep, HEDC or RCU, left seat to RCU, pan, I got HEDC or RCU to left seat.
And Charlie, verify QMAGs on the DAC and that the DAC's running. All right, run.
Not running, but the QMAG is there, huh?
Right. We just wanted you to verify the DAC was working.
Periodically, you'll hear Mission Control ask the astronauts to check their the performance on the spacesuits. There's this small box which is mounted on the chest, monitoring the activity and all of the pressures and temperatures coming from the backpack, supplying them life-giving oxygen and cooling.
Set the far UV again one more time.
Okay. And your azimuth will be 276.
That's 276 degrees from the landing site. 276.
And the elevation, 1.4.
Oh. Sorry. Wrong there. He's talking about a sighting azimuth, I believe, for that camera.
Okay, Houston. Going to reset.
He's moving the ultraviolet camera again.
It worked.
That's John Young. Dr. Thornton Page and the other scientists here waiting anxiously to see what the film inside this camera will show about atomic hydrogen, which is believed to fill up the great voids of space as we've measured them from Earth.
This must be the volcanic gases, because it's looking right at Stone Mountain. Is that what you want?
He says the camera's looking right at Stone Mountain. That's the direction they're going to go.
I'll find out, John. That 276 and 14, that is target.
He's aimed the camera 276 degrees from their location there on the surface, and then an elevation of 14 degrees. And according to Young, that's right at Stone Mountain to the south of their site. The scientists in back room, Dr. Page particularly,
that's Seth, and she's working,
are calling for these sightings.
There's the big eye looking right at me. Boy, you can't get away with a thing around here.
Charlie Duke just looked up and noticed that the television camera's pointed right at him. The big eye. This is being controlled from Earth by remote control, working perfectly.
Okay, John. Bim, I'm ready to go.
A very outgoing.
Hey, how do you want?
Charlie Duke.
I get it now. Okay, we're going to mode switch to one on LCRU, Houston.
Okay.
Charlie.
TV's from CZW.
Charlie's there went the television. They're having to turn off the TV camera.
Mode switch to one obviously refers to turning the TV off. The crew will now be getting aboard the lunar roving vehicle somewhat ahead of schedule, about 13 minutes earlier than the nominal flight plan, and heading for Stone Mountain. The first stop up on the side of Stone Mountain at Station 4, that's about 4.2 kilometers, and it'll take them something on the order of 35 minutes to drive that distance. En route, they could also encounter a number of large blocks.
I get system reset.
So we may see them stop along the way towards Stone Mountain. This is going to be the highlight of this excursion, is climbing up this mountain several hundred meters higher than their landing site. 4.2 kilometers away, you heard.
You don't need sun alignment. You don't need a sun alignment or any of that stuff, do you?
Yes, so we do, John. We need the sun alignment and go to reset.
Okay.
So the astronauts are climbing on board the lunar rover. They have now mounted all of the geological sampling equipment on it.
Exact heading was where you were parked.
And then they will drive south, take them some 35 minutes to go south toward what's called Stone Mountain, where they will take samples of this mountain on top of a mountain on the moon. And since they're on the lunar rover now, they had to turn off the television camera, power down what's called the LCRU, the Lunar Communications Relay Unit. We will be able to hear their voices very clearly, but for about the next half hour, we won't see that TV picture of their activities. This continues to amaze us here. Here these men are walking on the moon, and we have them almost as we can sit in our living rooms or just comfortably here on Earth, and instantly, with only about an eight-second delay for signal processing, we can watch the activities of the astronauts live as they're moving around on the moon. This is just a miracle that continues to amaze us right here. This landing site, this area they're exploring, is a hilly region north of the Descartes crater. Now, if you have a map of the moon, if you'd like to look right in the center of the moon as you see it from Earth, then look just below the lunar equator and to the right. In fact, it would be right on the edge of darkness if you happen to be in a part of the world right now, say in Europe and Africa where it's sundown. Look up there at the moon, and you can see that half moon. Well, they are right just below the center on the edge of darkness, if you want to look from here on Earth. This is the Descartes crater area in lunar highlands on the visible face of the moon. Descartes appears to have structural characteristics similar to volcanic sites here on Earth. And it has two separate volcanic features, Cayley Plains, on which they landed, and the Descartes Mountains, which will be extensively explored and sampled by John Young and Charlie Duke, starting during the first EVA yesterday, continuing today, and during a third scheduled excursion tomorrow. The Cayley Plain segment of the landing site is characterized by terrain ranging from smooth to undulating, possibly as a result of fluid volcanic rock flows. And the Descartes Mountains are characterized by hilly, furrowed highland plateau material that's thought to have come from a more viscous volcanic flow sometime in eons past. Additionally, the Descartes landing site provides an opportunity to study the evolution of young, bright rayed craters and to extend age dating to similar craters in other regions of the moon. The landing site has two basic areas which will be explored and sampled: Cayley Plains, including North Ray and South Ray craters, Stone Mountain and Smoky Mountain of the South and North Descartes Mountain areas. The low crater density in the Cayley Plain, which seems to have been contradicted by John Young since he's landed, but the scientists have thought that this was of an Imbrian age, meaning formed when the Mare Imbrium was formed, this great right eye of the moon, as you would look at it from Earth. Stone and Smoky Mountains appear to have shapes typical of volcanic formations on Earth, shapes that might be formed by movement of rather viscous material, as it's called. These two rayed craters to the north and south of the landing sites, North and South Ray craters, as they're being informally called, appear to penetrate deeply into the Cayley formation and reveal the sequence of layering, perhaps through an overlap of both the Cayley and Descartes formations. So the geologists are quite excited about this particular part of the moon, and they picked this as the one mountain site. Well, let's see. No, I believe Apollo 17 will also descend into a real rocky highland area also. The last of the Apollo mission scheduled for December. That's when Gene Cernan and his crew will go up to complete the Apollo landings. But this is the first so far of true highland landing areas, although we saw some very spectacular mountains during Dave Scott and Jim Irwin's walks on the moon. They landed in what was very nearly a mare surface or a lunar sea surface area there on Hadley Rill. Then this canyon, the rill itself, was gouged deep down into the Hadley formation itself. The mountains to the north and south extended much greater distances above the landing site and made it a spectacular sight. This site right here doesn't appear as spectacular, the site where John Young and Charlie Duke are exploring now, because they're already at very, very high elevations. Let's listen to the astronauts here.
And even with all of that extra there, you're only leaving 2 minutes late. Outstanding.
Shit. You must have forgot something.
Sure, I guess so.
Well, everything's running. Okay, Tony, as we cross out at, to the west here, or south, we see a lot of these black rocks with the white Vena crest.
Also, we see big white rocks with black Vena crest. How about that, you?
Sure. A black glass, I mean. Excuse me. Okay, we got a great view of all the way into Stone. We're right up on a ridge here, Tony. We're at 10 degrees bearing, 1.1 range. There's a 1 meter boulder to the right that's very angular, that's just as we've already described, the black with the whitish inclusion. We can see all the way to the base of Stone Mountain and Survey Ridge. There's some secondaries around. The terrain is covered with about 3% of the surface with cobbles up to 15 centimeters, a couple of indurated little secondaries.
And Charlie, verify the DAC is on.
That are a meter or so. Yeah, I called DAC on.
Okay.
Oh, Charlie.
I feel it running.
Good show.
Okay, now, Tony, we're going down a an incline, downslope, at 356 at 0.3.
That is about a 5-degree slope, John. And the boulder population is, and the cobble population is picked up over here to about 10%, I'd say.
Okay, there were those mounds mapped over at Phantom area. Can you see those?
The mounds mapped where?
In the area of Phantom Crater. That'll be to your left at about, it'll be about 10 o'clock now.
We're going to hear him talking about Cove Crater, Trap
Crater.
No, it's
over Phantom Crater. It's over a ridge.
Phantom Crater.
I think we're coming by WC is really what we're coming by after our 1 o'clock. I think it's 3 o'clock now, 350 at point 3.
Okay.
I think you're right, Charlie.
Phantom Crater is just off to the east.
We see are a meter. The regolith seems to be loosely compacted, much like the regolith over at the, which is characteristic of all of the Cayley here. Most of the rocks are angular to sub-rounded.
Okay, do you feel
that's
you're still in that ray?
Still in this ray.
Yeah. Just covered with blocks and holes, Houston.
Okay, we copy.
Now, what they're seeing right now is they're passing an area called Phantom Crater. Let's listen.
Which beats 17. See.
Okay, the heading on the first leg is 162.
Heading on for 1.3. Okay, we got 0.6 now.
They're checking the heading on their directional gyro. This lunar rover has a gyro guidance device just like an airplane, a directional gyro. When you hear them talking about a heading, that is a compass heading from the lunar rover, 162 degrees away from it. They should go roughly on a 173, then a 277 heading, then a 168. They should end up, after winding around some craters, working due south. Let's listen.
2 to 3 degree slope now. Oh, Barney's really driving this beauty.
Do you have an amps at max speed?
Eight.
How fast is he going? He's asked for mission control. They're really rolling.
I'm sitting in. I can't tell you. I'm sitting in volts right now.
Okay, fine.
Tony, an observation here: the dust covered rocks are mostly rounded. The angular rocks seem to be free of dust.
And there sure are a lot of rocks.
That was John Young saying, and there sure are a lot of rocks. And a moment ago they mentioned...
As we described cobbly, cobble size is still the same, maybe 10% of the surface now.
They mentioned a moment ago the fact that they could tell that the way these rocks are strewn in lines, that they're coming from the South Ray Crater. In other words, this is ejected material forming the ray of a crater, as it's called.
Not even real big craters. A lot of subdued.
It's not as many easier, it's just that you can see what you're doing.
Yeah. But it didn't seem to be as rough as what I thought.
John Young and Charlie Duke driving the lunar module some 4.2 kilometers south.
Now, Tony.
Take them another 15 minutes or so to get there.
Still in indurated secondaries.
Okay, you should be about halfway to survey.
They're running a little behind time. It may take them a bit longer than 30 minutes
right
to get
up there.
To Stone Mountain.
That was properly mapped.
Says this area was properly mapped. For this traverse, we're looking at a reasonable duplicate of the
most
type of
map there. Most of the secondaries are the craters here, Tony, are in the meter size. Some of the larger ones may be 5 meters.
You're listening to the Voice of America's continuing coverage of Apollo 16. This is Rhett Turner in Houston, and we're listening to the voices of John Young and Charlie Duke on the surface of the moon as they're driving the lunar rover south of the Descartes-Cayley plane landing site, south toward what is called Stone Mountain for the major part of this second excursion of the moon. And we'll be here for another half hour to bring you a continuing running commentary of their activities. Right now, I'd like to bring you a recorded conversation with the man you're hearing describe this ride, Charles Duke, the Lunar Module pilot. Before he left, he talked with me about this second EVA and what he and John Young hope to accomplish.
Try doing the second EVA.
Well, again, we'll be getting the rover in shape to go to drive to the south to a mountain that we've named Stone Mountain after a very predominant spot in Georgia. Then the primary objective is to climb Stone Mountain. About 700 feet up is our objective. And that will be, we will drive directly to our first stop up on the flank of Stone Mountain.
Mm-hmm. That's up some 250 meters.
That's correct. 250 meters up will be our first stop on a little terraced ledge as we see it in the photographs. The objective there is to sample the mountain, so to speak, of what the mountain is made of, which is what the geologists call the Descartes Formation, which covers about 4% of the front side of the moon. We will sample there, spend almost an hour doing sampling tasks, taking pictures, turning the TV on for the public and for the geologist. And after that hour, we will come back down the mountain with two or three intermediate stops. We will then proceed westward along a crater called Stubby Crater, which is oblong in shape, that very well could be a volcano, but we will find out when we get there. We will stop on the flank of Stubby Crater to sample that material and to sample some material that has been thrown out from a large crater further to the south, about 3 kilometers, which we will not be able to visit. We will sample that material.
Hopefully that's the ray of one of these
that's
craters.
That's correct, Rhett.
Material.
It's a south ray crater, and on the photographs you can see this material coming across our stop. We might not be able to see it, but we're going to pick up every rock that we can find, and I'm sure we'll sample it.
Are you going to be able to bring back a greater load of rocks than in previous missions?
We're a little bit skinnier than the Apollo 15 crew, and we have a good engine, so we're going to be able to at least bring back the difference in our weight in rocks. We have about 190 to 200 pounds capability, and if we come back with more than that, we might be able to go as high as 220 or 230, we hope. After that final stop there at South Ray on Stubby Crater, we have a few more intermediate stops to further sample the Cayley. And then it's back to the limb after 7 hours of geology.
Correct me if I'm wrong now. This whole area that you will traverse in the rover is expected to be full of big stones and lumps all over the place, isn't it?
We can see those in the photographs. Hopefully they will not be as predominant, so predominant that we have trouble navigating and driving the rover. We hope that the boulders will be such that We'll be able to navigate around and over them if necessary. The rover has a good ground clearance, so we can of about half a meter, so we can probably get over a few good sized rocks.
Now, in this lunar highlands area, which Apollo 16 is the first to visit, a real true highlands area, what's the importance of the Stone Mountain projection there?
Well, it's probably a volcanic unit that either is late in the lunar history or early in the unit lunar history, depending on the geologist you talk to. The importance is sampling this unit that has never been sampled before and covers 4% of the front side of the moon. Never been sampled before. And it is volcanic in nature, we feel, and will fill in a major gap in this dynamic history of the moon, which is now quiet.
Thanks very much, Charlie Duke, for describing the second EVA. Charles Duke, Lunar Module Pilot, Apollo 16. This is Rhett Turner.
And there you have it from the man himself, whom we're listening to as he climbs out up toward what's called Stone Mountain, next to South Ray Crater. Let's tune in to what's going on up there on the moon. Charlie Duke is talking some more.
Okay, 1.5. That's where we mapped
Tony,
on top
if we'd
of
have gone, if we'd have gone to 353 on survey originally, we'd have been down in a big depression.
He's talking about
I'm still pretty depressed at this point.
Oh, man, John, this is really a ray. It just goes right into South Ray.
Boy, you just can't believe a block, Houston. the block population on survey? What is it, 50%?
Oh, I was estimating 60 to 70.
Yeah.
He's talking about a prominence called Survey
and
Ridge. And
you can track it right in up across over the ridge. It blocks out Wreck and Stubby into South Ray.
This ridge runs right on down into the South Ray Crater, and from the block distribution, meaning great large stone boulders, they can tell it is a ray of the crater.
Still heading southeast.
They're heading southeast, says Charlie Duke.
Got to get out of these, Charlie.
Got to get out of these boulders.
Think, the rover's hacking it with no sweat over these little ones.
Yeah, but I mean, damn, I'm... spend the rest of the day in a real ray.
Yeah, I think you can hook a right here a little bit, John. Looks pretty good. It's
navigating
really,
on the lunar
crater here, Tony, at 1.6 is 348. The top of survey is just pockmarked. They're pretty subdued, though. We can drive through the up to 3 meter ones with no problem. You're still making 6 clicks, John.
6 kilometers per hour. 6 clicks.
The characteristics of the rocks, Tony, are the same as around the lunar module.
Okay.
There's what John Young says sounds look almost like a rill. After you come up over the ridge, you go down in
the survey. You might see if you see any beds in there.
They both talk. It takes a few seconds for communications to go back and forth.
Not a chance.
Okay.
It's pretty well rounded, Tony, and it's just the only predominant feature here is this ray pattern with all the secondaries.
Okay.
Best set of rocks you ever saw, I'll tell you that.
That was John Young chiming in. Most of the conversation coming from Charlie Duke.
Well, it'll be no trouble sampling the South Ray at Station 8. It looks like this ray goes right across it.
Very good.
Station 8, they will come back to.
We're 1.7 there, 352, and sort of back down in almost, we've dropped maybe 20 meters, just passing a secondary that's 10 meters across.
Okay, you should see Merriam over to your right.
A crater called Merriam. Merriam.
Merriam would be down over the ridge.
Okay.
And there's a great split boulder right there.
Duke reported he's 1.7 kilometers away from the lunar module, and the heading back to the limb is 352 degrees.
Very undulating terrain, hummocky. The domical hummocks are,
what's your heading be down here now, Charlie?
Okay, we still got to go three. This is the one that's two from here. Up over is
267
for 4/10. We should be at 005 at 1.6 to cross. Then we turn south again.
He's looking at his navigation map on where
we're
he should 1. 8, be.
We're at 1.8, but that's because
be.
We're a little. I think we could go straight for him, John. There's Cinco's right up there on the hill.
You can see the Cinco craters.
All right, we think you could just about head south now.
I think we should go straight for him. I want to get out of this wreck.
Okay, we are. We're going 180.
Now they're headed due south,
it's
180
terrible.
Degrees.
It's right, isn't it?
They
yep,
can see
that's
the...
I want to get out of it.
Yeah.
They can see where they want to drive to up on the side of Stone
Mountain.
Okay,
Mountain. We must be coming to the edge of it. My estimate of the cobbles is back down about... 20% now. We have secondaries within secondaries. Predominant crater size is still a meter or so. Only a very few of the secondaries are indurated. Coming up on one now at 2-0 at 355.
The astronauts are halfway, just about halfway to the...
Boy, it is something.
It is really something.
You're still going 8 clicks, though, John. We're right on.
8 kilometers per hour. They're moving down through the blocky fields off of Survey Ridge, around the edge of Merriam Crater. 8 kilometers an hour. They've moved about halfway to
hey,
the...
Hey, Tony, apparently we're still on survey. It's a wide ridge. It's a furrowed, parallel to the long axis. Now, there's a big crater off to the right, John, and here's five right up here about 12:30. Are the sinkholes are right south of Crown, though, so it's the ones to the right where we want to go. See that big crater up there below Crown?
Yeah.
Okay, now you're headed right for it. And the sinkholes are right to the right of that.
He's looking at craters up on the Stone Mountain Complex ahead of him. They're driving south from
where you are.
Sinkho
should be right behind the town.
It is, Tony. Right now, we got it spotted.
Okay.
That's astronaut
Tony. Got a little
Tony
crater
on
the, in the inner flank. Okay, doing 10 clicks.
10 kilometers.
And still in the cratered, saturated downslope of Survey Ridge. At 354 at 2.2. Black population is still the same. Looks like we don't get out of the ray really until we hit and start climbing upslope at station 6.
Houston, the best idea I can give you of what this looks like is it looks like about halfway up to that crater that we went to out at the Nevada test site. Man, I tell you, I've never seen so many blocks in my life.
Okay, sounds like that was a good exercise then.
From the Lunar Science Support Room, we can see a...
good exercise in driving.
...display.
Oh, that was a baddie.
That hit on the floorboard, that's okay.
The scientists want to have the astronauts ask if there's any change in regolith at the Descartes contact, where the Descartes formation has contact with the Cayley Plain. That would be at the bottom of Stone Mountain.
Really neat.
We may expect to hear Tony England ask the astronauts that. The scientists in the science support room pass these bits of information on television monitors back and forth with the capsule communicator. We are also able to watch that.
South ray ejecta. So we're down to perhaps 10% now on block frequency. The character of the regolith is still the same. Loosely consolidated with the raindrop pattern. It probably looks that way because of the sun. I'm convinced of that.
The rocks form
the
about
rocks
10% of the surface now.
With white clast in them.
Okay, what's the bearing and range for that getting off the contact?
Okay, we'll give it to you. We're right now at 354 at 2.5. We're still in a block field. It'll be about another 2 clicks before we're out of it.
Okay.
Okay, I just don't think you can identify these things as contacts per se.
No,
they just fade out, and then they go away.
That's John Young.
Okay.
He's describing geological contact. That's one formation blending into another.
200 or 300 meters from the contact as it's mapped with the Descartes, or the feathering out there. We'd like you to keep an eye out for any changes in regolith.
Regolith, meaning changes in the surface pattern.
Yeah, you got it, babe, and I think that's a pretty good guess. As far as, at least that's where the slope of stone starts.
They're 2.5 kilometers away from the lunar module now. Still about 2 more kilometers to go, Charlie Duke estimates, to get to the site they're driving toward. Well, we heard from the lunar module pilot describing this overall EVA. Now let's hear from John Young, the commander of the mission, with whom I recorded this little conversation about that vehicle he's driving, the lunar rover, several weeks ago before they left for the moon.
John, this will be the second time that there will be this lunar roving vehicle, and you're going to do some interesting things with that. Hopefully climb a mountain at a fairly steep angle, right?
Right. Hopefully climb a mountain that has slopes of somewhere between 12 and 20 degrees, and hopefully negotiate our way through a block field up at North Ray Crater and get up to the rim of that baby. Now, we've been practicing doing that out. We've been practicing doing that out at Kennedy Space Center, and they fixed me up a traverse trail. And the other day, I was able to, by weaving in and out of boulders and going around the corners that they've set up out there, even with a very devious course that they had set up, I was able to go 13 kilometers, averaging about 12 kilometers an hour.
Uh-huh. But this whole site, not only the mountains, but the Kale Plain area, is expected to be pretty lumpy, isn't it, with a lot of rock?
It is, and we've planned for it. We've planned our EVAs, estimating that we'll only be able to make 7.3 kilometers an hour.
Uh-huh.
Which is much reduced over the top. That's about a half as fast as a rover could really travel.
Uh-huh. And hopefully, as I understand it, you are going to search for a stretch in which you can test the rover out and see how it performs.
We have a couple of test objectives, and these are engineering test objectives, just to see how the rover performs on a flat space and to look at the surface cohesiveness of the moon. They think by analyzing the rover motions that they'll be able to tell just how glassy or how cohesive the lunar surface is, and maybe one of the answers to that would be better wheels for operating on a surface such as the moon is.
Mm-hmm. Thanks very much, John Young, commander of Apollo 16, and good luck throughout the mission.
And that was the commander who is driving that lunar rover right this minute. Charlie Duke refers to him as Old Barney. That's a reference to famous racing driver Barney Oldfield.
Out about a kilometer, and we're 355 at 3.0, is a tremendous boulder that
3 miles, 3 kilometers
so far away.
Away,
but it's very predominant on the skyline. Must be 5 meters or so.
That's Charlie Duke describing describing the terrain right there where he was 3 kilometers
any new
from the
lake. The regolith is still the same. We're still in a block field. We're just about to start up slope here. Have we been climbing, John? Look at that pitch meter.
We have
been climbing. I doubt it.
John doesn't think they started going up yet.
Okay, Charlie, we'd like the DAC on 12 frames per second.
Okay, 12 frames a second coming up.
He's on a heading of about 175 degrees south of the limb, 3 kilometers away.
Hey, you're looking right at Cinco and Tony. We don't feel like we're climbing, but we've been climbing for quite a while here. I just looked at the pitch meter and it was pegged out a minute ago.
Wow.
We're climbing up about a 10 degree slope now.
Okay.
In other words, it's a gentle slope, so gentle and subtle that it's
Let's see, 6 was at 000 at,
Charlie, what should we be heading for?
Those craters up there.
Don't tell me that.
Okay, see that one? It's sort of a funny shape. Looks like it's got a breach in the southeast side at 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
That's it.
The one at 12 o'clock, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Now, Houston, now that we get up to up Stone Mountain, my assessment is it's not any worse than what we've been driving down.
I think this is one of our benches here, John.
I think it is, huh?
Yeah, we're at 3.3, and 5 should be at 3.3. And, okay, Tony, we're on a flat area now at 3.55 at 3.3. And I think it apparently is a bench. We're passing station 5, a little to the east.
What he means is a flat place as you go up the mountain. It levels off and then begins to climb again. That would be called a bench. He's 3.3 kilometers south of the limb.
Here, the black population is up again to about 40% to 50%.
Okay, you might look for a fresh crater that would punch through that ray material into Descartes for station 5 when you come back.
Now we got lots of. Okay, most of the craters here are. There's another split one, but
look at old South Ray, Charlie.
That's beautiful, just spectacular. I can't believe it.
They can see this Rade crater off to the west.
And there's Baby Rade, John.
See it?
Yeah, you can see it. It's got black sides to it.
Another small crater they know called Baby Rade.
Okay, here's a crater, Tony. Remind us, it's 354 at 3.4. That's about 15 meters across and about 5 meters deep, and I bet you it punched through.
I wonder if it's punched through this Descartes uplifting or this Descartes formation, this mountainous formation.
And that should be a good enough for... And that should be a good station five.
Okay.
Man, we are really going up a hill, I'll tell you.
They'll stop here on the way back down and sample this crater.
That's the only one I see, I reckon.
Okay, see, there seems over here by this oblong one, which I think is Cinco E, John... We go up a steep slope, but then it seems to level out right up on top.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. Look at that bench and crown.
I know it. No, we can't see crown now.
What is that thing with a B in it?
That's Cinco E.
The one with a B in it?
Yeah.
Let's go sample it.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. See, it seems to be a steep slope.
We have about another 6/10 of a kilometer to go, about another 600 meters to go to this Cinco crater area, according to their, 3.6 away now.
And you ought to see that Baby Ray, Tony. It's got a real good raised rim. You can see some good, it's got lots of blocks around it that are hard to estimate the size. And we're going up a steep, steep slope, John. I'll tell you.
We believe you, Charlie.
We are not.
And it's got black streaks coming out of it. Okay, our amps are now up to 60. Oh, wait a minute, that's bold.
Yeah, Charlie.
This is going to be spectacular. I can see wreck and trap and orange juice. Golly. There's a little bench on up there, a little bit more, John.
Yeah, we're getting up on a bench right now.
And boy, this is going to be such a spectacular view, you can't believe it.
I don't think we can top the description that these men are giving us. They're about just a couple hundred meters from the site, from their destination, up the side of Stone Mountain, some 250 meters higher than their landing site, and they're exclaiming over the site in all directions. Particularly a moment ago, Charlie Duke said... the mountains to the west of their landing site were quite spectacular.
Yeah, one of the lower Cincos, not D or E. You should have something like 4.0.
Okay, we'll go... we'll go on up.
Should go up a little farther.
A little easier driving uphill and down.
And you're well ahead on the timeline. You've been making good time.
You're ahead of the timeline, apparently.
Tony, I can see into,
Charlie, let's go up here to this big blocking crater. Man, that's really good.
Where's that?
Right up there.
That's Crown.
Don't want to go up to there?
Yeah, that's fine with me. Looks like a pretty steep slope.
No, it's not. That might be.
John Young, the driver, wants to go on up this steep slope toward a crater called Crown, which is up on the side near the top of Stone Mountain.
Can you see it from here?
Yeah, I can see it now.
When they get to this area, then they're going to spend a considerable amount of time traversing, sampling, taking...
The crater is about 60 feet above the planned stopping point.
We're in a pretty good right roll, Tony. About 5 to 10 degrees right roll and climbing up a steep slope. And, John, here's a great bench right up here. It might be a crater just right in front of us, about 20 meters. Why don't we stop there?
A bench has found a level spot to stop.
I'm talking about right, just really right here. See this big block at about 1 o'clock at 1230?
Right here?
Yeah, right here.
Okay, we concur with whatever blocky crater you want to stop that up there.
So this is where they're going to stop and begin the sampling of Stone Mountain.
Okay, because it's on a flat bench, too.
Yeah.
They'll be here for almost an hour.
Go ahead and park for a nav update down front. If you can find a level place.
Okay, super. And, Tony, I think we're up at just about the Crown Crater.
Okay. The main thing is to make sure we have a crater that's big enough that punches through any ray material from Star Parade.
This one does. Don't worry. This is a 10-meter crater. It's got blocks on the inside of it that are partially covered with fillet material.
So they're up on the top of Stone Mountain near an appropriate crater for sampling. And for the next hour, John Young and Charlie Duke will be there. In just a moment, we'll see television pictures of this. And we'll be back on the air to report more to you from the Manned Spacecraft Center with these live descriptions from the Descartes Mountains of the Moon by John Young and Charlie Duke. This is Rhett Turner in Houston.
You've been listening to the Voice of America's live coverage of the flight of Apollo 16, now approximately 144 hours into the mission. We have some changes in our original broadcast schedule. The liftoff of astronauts Young and Duke from the moon to rejoin Ken Mattingly in the command module now orbiting the moon will be broadcast at 0100 Greenwich Mean Time, Sunday, April 24th. And the splashdown in the Pacific will come a day earlier. Our VOA broadcast will come at 2000 hours, Greenwich Mean Time, Thursday, April 27th. The Voice of America will return to the air at 1700 Greenwich Mean Time, Sunday, April 23rd, for the third and final moon excursion scheduled for the Apollo 16 astronauts. We will also broadcast regular reports on the progress of Apollo 16. Our thanks to VOA space correspondent Rhett Turner at Houston. This is Les Higbee at the Apollo News Center in Washington. This program has come to you from the United States of America.